Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers as thoroughly as you could cover the New York football Giants. Paul, first of all, happy holidays, and thanks for giving us a couple of minutes, of course.
Steve, anytime. This is a season to be thankful, and I am always thankful to get a chance to talk to you. I really mean that seriously.
Well, that means a lot to me, that's for sure. And certainly we wish the same for you. And also, Paul will take some calls, so know from the 1-877-337-6666. We promise not to take you until 2 a.m., but we will take, and Paul will take some calls, that's for sure. Regarding the Giants, and I was reading, as I do all the time, with your column from earlier today. Let me ask you this, because you did focus on Shurmur, and that has been the topic of conversation for the most part on the radio station today. Let me ask you what you think. Would he be relieved when he is relieved, if that's going to be the situation at the end of the season?
No, I don't think so. I don't think this is a, you know, I've been around coaches where, look, at the end of Jim Fossil's 7-year run, it was time, right? It was just, you felt that wear. It was enough already. Even a little bit with Tom Coughlin in some ways, even with the two great Super Bowl victories, you kind of sense it was a wearing effect. You know, this is less than 2 years now with Pat Shurmur. And look, Pat Shurmur is no dummy. He realizes this is his last shot. This is his last shot to be a head coach. And he has started, if you notice, Steve, the last few weeks, he's starting to mention, not use as an excuse, but started to mention more and more how young this team is, how the best players are the young players, and we have to play more young players. He's putting in, look at the defensive backfield, Corey Ballantyne, Sam Beal, Julian Love, in addition to DeAndre Baker. So he keeps on mentioning young, and he said the other day about progress. Well, where do you measure progress? He said, well, I see progress behind the scenes. So he's kind of trying to send a message that, look, this is what hand I was dealt. I have a rookie quarterback. I got rookies all over the field, especially on defense. This is a rebuilding situation. I should be part of this moving forward. You know, if they're 2-14, it's going to be a very hard sell, Steve.
You think he's a good coach?
I can't sit here and say tonight, you know, that Pat Shurmur's a good coach. I think he's he has shown ability in his career as a good offensive coordinator. I think he's shown ability in his career of being a good guy to have a young quarterback around, Donovan McNabb. So I think the best thing Pat Shurmur's ever done in his career is coordinate an offense with Case Keenum that was very close to making a Super Bowl. But his record is not good. His media relations are not great. I think his game management is are just okay. His motivational skills, you know, if they're there, I don't really see them. So it's hard for me to, you know, make a case that Pat Shurmur gives you an advantage on Sundays.
You know, you mentioned, and that he mentions all the time, we're young, especially in the secondary. You want young, but you want good. And Baker doesn't look very good. Ballantyne looked awful trying to cover Robinson on Sunday. And then we saw another killer bee, Beal, come on out. And Bethea has been very disappointing when he has been healthy and when he has been out there. So you do want young. However, you want young and good, Paul, and we're not seeing that.
Right. Yeah, you don't want young and restless, right? Like the old soap opera. You want young and good. Look, right. You're right, Steve. There's no badge of honor to say we have all these rookies. No one told them they have to play all the rookies, and no one said you have to construct a roster where when you look at the depth chart and you say, well, if you don't want me to play the rookie, who do you want me to play? This guy who's been in the league 2 or 3 years, he's not as good as the rookie. Well, whose fault is that? That's the fault of the roster maker, right? So to say, well, look, we're playing rookies, so you have to accept this losing and these mistakes. Yes, the more rookies on the field, the more mistakes there will be. But these rookies, you know, nobody said it was written in stone before the year that Corey Ballantyne, a sixth-round pick, has to become your nickelback, you know, in the second half of the season, your slot cornerback. They could have had someone better on the roster ready, and this guy could have learned the ropes. No one said that DeAndre Baker, look, there's no question. They only have one legitimate cornerback on the team, Janoris Jenkins, so we have to start this kid right away. They get no medals for trying for putting these rookies on the field. You play them. If they're your best players, then that's on Dave Gettleman for putting this roster together. And then, look, it's also on this coaching staff to develop these players. If there's talent there, if they feel there's talent there, which they do, then these players have to get better and develop. And I'm only seeing slight signs of that.
And we heard and read, of course, with Schirmer saying, well, we've seen progress behind the scenes. What is this, the Wizard of Oz? What is this? We Giants fans, listen, it goes without saying, they want to see progress on the field, and they don't see that at all. They see regression.
They, you know what they see, Steve? They see a lot of consistency as far as a bad defense. Now, this past week in Chicago, the defense played well enough to win the game, right?
Yeah.
They didn't play great, and certainly Mitchell Trubisky, you know, did not have a breakout game, but he was certainly looked like a fairly competent quarterback, which he had not for much of this season. So they gave up too much, but they didn't give up. They gave up 19 points. You know what I mean? So they certainly, if they figured out a way to score 20, they would win. So this was a case of an offensive meltdown. So you talk about progress behind the scenes. Well, the offensive line is not making progress, and they had all their starters back. Saquon Barkley is, you know, it's very troubling, Steve, because if this team, if you draft a running back number two, it is because you think he is, as they said, touched by the hand of God and a generational talent. And I understand he's not 100%, but he's not 50% either. And so he has to take some of the onus on this for not running as effectively as he can. His ankle is an issue. The offensive line, the power blocking scheme is not good. They're a big, powerful group, but they're not taking people off the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, he has more negative and 1 yard and 0 yard gains. It's incredible. For a running back of that caliber, that should not be happening. So I agree with you, Steve. This behind-the-scenes stuff, you know what? If they think there's progress behind the scenes, then they should invite all the season ticket holders, take a number like a bakery, and come into their facility and let them see the progress behind the scenes. Because those season ticket holders who are paying that money are not seeing it on Sundays at MetLife Stadium.
Do you think Barkley is hurt?
Well, I don't think he's 100%, but no, I don't think he's hurt. Look, the problem was they brought him back too soon from this, Steve. They made a big deal that this is Super Saquon, and Pat Shurmur even said, I wrote it's a 6 to 8 week injury, and other people wrote 4 to 6, 4 to 8, somewhere in that frame. And Pat Shurmur, when Saquon Barkley was going to come back after 4 weeks, said, well, that was your time frame. That wasn't our time frame. Well, you know what that was, Steve? That is pretty much the time-tested time frame for a high ankle sprain. It is a serious injury, and usually cannot short circuit. You know, you cannot short shrift that kind of recovery. I think the Giants probably rushed him back by a week, and so he wasn't really ready to come back, and everyone made a big deal that he came back for what, right? I don't think they put him on the field when he was hurt, but he was not as close to 100% as he needed to be. And you know what, Steve? They better hope that he's hurting, because we saw a great player last year. We have not seen a great player this year.
Yeah, and of course, we'll take some calls with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post regarding the Giants. Know from the 1-877-337-6666. Joe is calling from Colonia, New Jersey, and you're on with Paul Schwartz. Thanks for the call, Joe. Go ahead.
Steve, thanks for taking my call, and Paul, thanks for taking your time out to answer some calls. My question to you is, do you think football is going in the same direction as baseball, where you want coaches to coddle players instead of disciplining players? It just seems like the old-time coaches are no longer there to coach these players, if you understand what I'm saying.
Look, the football is not – when I started covering football, there were two-a-day practices. Training camp was training camp. They wore pads more. They hit longer. Practice early in the morning, practice in the afternoon in the hot sun. Look, there are old-time players who say that they used to take salt pills and they weren't allowed water breaks. So look, we don't want that. We want concussion protocols. We want attention to health. We don't want the kind of, they've legislated taking the head out of the game. I don't think that's coddling players. I think that's protecting players mostly from themselves. But look, ask any teacher who teaches young kids. Ask anybody who works with, Generation X or whatever, whatever the young millennials are now. And you have to treat them and act differently with them. Everyone has a cell phone. When I walk into the locker room after a game and they've lost, almost every player is sitting there while he's getting undressed on his cell phone. And if you would see that, you would say, these guys don't care. Look, that doesn't mean they don't care. That's the generation. That's what they do.
Well,
coaches can deal with that.
But it also could mean they don't care. In the old days, what? When there weren't the smartphones, when there wasn't with the social media, with the Twitter, with the texting, players used to get angry. Now it seems because of the money, And because they are giving their best effort, even if they do lack the talent to be winners every single week, or at least most weeks. Bottom line is, the fan, all of us, we get the impression they don't care.
Well, look, Steve, do you think Sam Huff, after going 60 minutes, four quarters against Jim Brown, mm-hmm. exchanged jerseys and posed for a picture after the game? No, of course not, right? That's what it is now in all sports. That's the way it is. I do think mm-hmm. the players care. I really do. But young players, when you look around the Giants locker room, Steve, and I say, okay, I need to find someone who has perspective, who's been here a long time. Okay, Eli Manning is not talking to the media now, okay? Zach Diassi is the long snapper. Other than that, there is nobody there. Sterling Shepard is the most tenured Giant after mm-hmm, those guys, okay? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. When you look around the locker room and say, does these guys care? Do they bleed blue? Do they care about Giants pride? Yeah, they do, but they don't know enough about it. They're a rookie. They're just trying to figure out a way to stay in the league another day. This other stuff is over their heads.
I understand very much what you're saying. We talk about this kind of thing all the time. Some of us hate losing. And Jamal Adams of the Jets is a player who made it loud and clear. And, of course, maybe that turns on the rest of his teammates, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of reasons for a turnaround with a team that's been a bottom feeder. I understand very much what you're saying. And, again, it is maybe generational, but you would like to think that even with the Generation X, even with millennials, even with young people who are in the NFL, you would think, Paul, you get a little bit upset and show some anger or disgust or frustration losing a game instead of texting your best friend, if you know from what I'm saying.
I do, but that's the way these guys look. Eli Manning spent 16 years with the Giants and won two Super Bowls, and he never was breathing fire. The guy on the Giants, I would say, who does things that you would like to see is Jabril Peppers. He looks miserable after games. He's in a bad mood. He's been in a bad mood for, weeks now because the team is losing. That's fine, but not everyone reacts that way. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones we go. Mark is calling from North Brunswick. Mark, you're on with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Does this offensive line have what it takes? Are they creating the holes? Are they protecting the passer? And where do they go from that?
Well, depending on how much time we have, time we have, Steve, I can answer it in one word, no. They don't have what it takes. The longer version is, I think this offensive line was put together to be an adequate average offensive line. Okay? Nobody expected them to be the Cowboys. After the slop that they served the Giants for all these years, Nate Solder is a competent left tackle. That's what he is. He's not a bad player. He's not a great player. He's competent. Mike Remmers, they signed to play right tackle. Never sniffed a Pro Bowl. He is a competent right tackle. John Halapio at center, they think, has a lot of potential as a young guy. He was a low draft pick for the Patriots, kicked around some teams. He's not a guy who was knocking down the door to make anyone's roster. The big guy is Will Hernandez, a second-round pick. They put him in right away, and they traded for Kevin Zeitler, who is a solid player, but also a player who's never been to the Pro Bowl. So this was a line that was supposed to go from 30th to around 15th, and then with Barkley, with a good quarterback, with some weapons, they would be a pretty good offense. I think at the start of the year, they were close to that. I think they have regressed. Pat Shurmur was asked that the other day, has your offensive line regressed? He said no. I think the answer is yes. And unfortunately for the Giants moving forward, you can make a case that they need two or three new offensive linemen next year.
It's like a turnstile on 10 legs.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a guy like Nate Solder is a turnstile, an expensive turnstile who makes a lot of money. Look, that's what happens when you swing and miss like they did with Eric Flowers, Steve. People say, well, when you miss on a quarterback, it sets you back. You know what? When you miss on a top 10 pick, a left tackle who you say is going to be your foundation cornerstone offensive lineman for a decade, and he flat out can't play, it sets you back. It makes you have to go into free agency and spend too much to protect your quarterback, and it all spirals from there, and that's what's happened.
Tony is calling from Bayonne. And Tony, you're on with Paul Schwartz.
Good evening, man. First of all, it's obvious Saquon's not healthy. He takes the ball, he hits the hole, he goes straight ahead, and that's not him. He's a bouncing outside guy, make a quick cut and go. He probably doesn't trust the ankle, and he's just going straight ahead. Secondly, Paul, on Shurmur. Shouldn't the Giants be more consistent now with their coaching staff? Now, if you look, once they put Jones in, you knew it was going to be a year to develop the quarterback. And if you remember, when they let Tom go, they spent a boatload of money on the defense for McAdoo. And this year, they're going to be $100 million under the cap.
You know what? You make a good point. A losing franchise changes on the fly. There's no question about it. The question is continuity and familiarity versus making a change because this is not working and we don't see any great potential here. They hired Pat Shurmur 2 years ago and they said, what? He's an adult. He's an adult in the room. And I think that is true. He's an adult. The team functions well enough. There's not chaos. There's not anarchy. They're not finger pointing. You know, he's a solid guy in that regard. My question is, do the Giants see someone out there with greater potential? And please don't get me started with Jason Garrett. I think that's an incredibly hard sell for Giants fans, a guy from your division who's won two playoff games in a decade. So, yes, you can say, you know what, he deserves to come back. He took the hit with all these young players, and once we went off Eli and went to Daniel Jones, we knew it was going to be a tough season. That's fine. The question is, has Pat Shurmur done enough this other than the record, the way the game manages, the way the player's developing, to want him back? That's John Mara and Steve Tisch's call.
What do you see during a game? He seems to be lost on occasion.
Well, I think, you know, I thought early in the season with his, I'm going to challenge these pass interferences, even though I'm not going to win. I thought that was a little pig-headed. He had a point, but he wasn't going to win them, so he should have quit that. I think he's been inconsistent at times, going for it on 4th and 15, the 2-down territory, an inside handoff, which made no sense. In that regard, I didn't like some of that. I think sometimes he's punted when he should have gone for it, or he should have, or vice versa, other ways. This past week was not a good look, keeping his defense on the field. you know, punting situation because he was afraid that the Bears right. were going to run a fake, which I don't think anyone in the building thought they would run a fake. Mm. And because Jabril Peppers is not out there on defense, who is a punt returner, right. now you have no returner. You put Janoris Jenkins back there. He can do it, but he's not experienced at it. The ball bounces and rolls to the six-yard line, you know, because Janoris didn't go get the ball. So right. those kind of things, I don't think I'd be hard-pressed to say, here are the 10, 12, 15 things I think Pat Shurmur gave them an advantage of this Sunday. And that's ownership has to look at that and say, we may want continuity, but is his the right guy after what we've seen in these 2 years?
And another fumble, I mean, ball security with Daniel Jones, and he's supposed to be Shurmur, a quarterback guru. What is he doing with Daniel Jones to protect the football?
Well, they're working with him. Look, Eli Manning had this problem. You know what, Steve? There's a couple of things. You know, if your management is really critical of one thing you do on the air, right? Mm-hmm. And you know they cannot replace me, are you going to be hell-bent to make that correction?
First of all, they can replace me, and we're all replaceable, and you know it.
Well, Daniel Jones is not replaceable because yeah. they're not putting Eli Manning back on the field, barring an injury to Daniel Jones. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So there is no threat. You know, when Tom Coughlin was hired and he met with Tiki Barber, he said, you're a great player, and you're my starting running back. But if you keep on fumbling, you will not play. Okay, you will not play, and you mm-hmm. will not be my running back. That put the fear of God into Tiki Barber, and he worked in the offseason with his running backs coach, and he came back, and he gave Tom Coughlin great performances and ball security. So I'm not saying they should bench Daniel Jones, but they're working with him. Look, some of them, Steve, look, we saw it with Aaron Rodgers last mm-hmm, week. Mm-hmm. You got hit from behind. These maniacs coming for the ball, they're not going for the body. They're going for the ball. Sacks, strip sacks are all over the league. We've seen it everywhere. But it's and he had some of this in college, Daniel Jones at Duke, a little bit of a carelessness running with the ball, not protecting it. It's stuff he has to get out of his system because it is, you know, 10 fumbles is just lost mm-hmm. fumbles is just ridiculous. But there's no fear that he's going to be benched for it, and I think mm-hmm. that is somewhat of a factor.
Real quick, and then we have time for one more call, Paul. Eli Manning, does he go to another team? Does he retire as a Giant? Give me your take.
I'm pretty confident that he does not go to another team. I'm pretty confident that he will retire after this year. You know, I don't think his camp is really interested in shopping his services mm-hmm. around anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's got four kids. He's 38 years old. He still loves the Giants. He was very hurt that they did this, pulled the plug on him after only two games. He knew it was a possibility if they would lose. He thought he had more time than two games. But, I think Eli gets a send-off after this year.
And that would be for the final home game, some kind of video tribute, maybe some kind of halftime presentation. What do you think?
Well, it's touchy, right? You know, a lot of people have said to me, I wrote a column about this a few weeks ago, should they give him a start? And you really can't do it, right? I mean, you know, Kobe Bryant plays his last game and nobody, you play phantom defense and he scores 50, 60 points, and that's fine, right? Nobody gets hurt. You know, Derek Jeter was diminished. He goes up, and if he strikes out, he strikes out. If he gets a hit, he gets a hit. You can't do that with Eli Manning unless it's the Washington Generals and everyone's in on it, right? And you say we're not gonna pass rush and let Eli complete some passes. So I don't think he can play again in that situation. It's really tricky. You do some kind of video, some kind of something. Mm-hmm. They'll have to do something to have the fans salute him at that last home game.
All right, before we let you go, and we have a million calls, but we haven't got the time. Maybe next time we'll have the extra time for you to take some calls. Give your podcast a plug.
Okay, Blue Rush, thank you. You can look on, I guess it's on iTunes and Spotify and all those things. So, yes, it's, you know, we do it. Jimmy Fallon is a very entertaining guy. He's the host. I'm on it. We have players all the time. And one thing, Steve, when we questions, do you have a Jack from Woodmere and Boca Raton, Florida on the call? Calling in?
No, I'm not. No? I can't. I'm not sure.
No, well, that's my. I'm surprised. I figured my father might be first in line.
I can't thank you enough. The best of the holiday season to you and your family, and take care of yourself.
Anytime. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate
you got it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.